Imagine this, a four-wheeled robot rolling slowly over a distant landscape, equipped with high-tech sensors and funded by NASA and the National Science Foundation. And no, I am not talking about the Mars rover Curiosity, but a robot named Yeti. He is a polar rover designed by a team of Dartmouth engineering students. Yeti has ground-penetrating radar and helps scientists in Antarctica and Greenland to detect and map possibly deadly crevasses before manned expeditions. Laura Ray is professor of engineering at Dartmouth College and Yeti project leader and joins us now from Dartmouth. Laura, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Yeti is a fully autonomous robot. First of all, clarify what that means exactly so no one has to control it.
That's right. What you do is give Yeti a set of waypoints, GPS locations that you want Yeti to travel to, and Yeti will follow those waypoints until it finishes, and then it'll wait for an additional set of waypoints.
So what does Yeti look like and how does he work?
Well, Yeti is a four-wheel drive rover. It's about a meter square. It has motors in each wheel. It's all electric, so it runs off of battery power. It is a passive design, so what you would like in these regions, since the terrain is not completely even, you'd like to be able to keep all your wheels on the ground as you travel over bumps and what we call sastrugi. And Yeti does so with a passive suspension. It simply has a pivot between the front and the rear that allows it to rotate as it travels over that terrain.
So how does it sense these dangerous cracks?
It actually doesn't sense them. What we did when we designed Yeti is we designed it from the ground up, and we said, well, this is the terrain we have to traverse. These are the size of the features, the height of the features that we will likely encounter. And we designed it to be able to cross those features. So sastrugi, while you can encounter large ones, we generally operate it in regions where they aren't so large. So maybe they are a foot in height, perhaps, or 18 inches. You can think of the sastrugi as sort of waves in the snow, wind-sculpted snow, that we can essentially handle with this pivot-based suspension.
Now, you mentioned that Yeti is battery-powered. I understand that your lab has since developed a sort of sister robot for Yeti that is solar-powered. Now, how does solar power work in these very cold climates?
Actually, the Cool Robot is the name of the solar-powered robot preceded Yeti. It was developed in about 2005, and we recently just completed a second phase of the Cool Robot. So the Cool Robot has a box, essentially a solar panel box, so panel on the top and on the four sides. And since the sun is at low angles in the regions we operate these robots, in Greenland and Antarctica, the panels on the side, the one facing the sun, has essentially direct sunlight, as does the top. And the ones on the other sides that don't face the sun are getting reflections of energy off of the snow. The reflectivity of the snow is quite high, above 90%. So even the panels not facing the sun are able to get solar energy.
Many of us have heard about this Mars rover Curiosity and have followed its journey on Mars. We have a sense of why research on Mars is interesting and worthwhile. Tell us why this Arctic research is important.
Well, both Arctic and Antarctic research are important to help scientists understand everything from climate change to the activity in our ionosphere, space physics, basically, to the effect of pollutants on these regions. So, for example, in a recent deployment with the Cool Robot, we carried an instrument payload from UNH that measured the footprint of the summit camp operated by the National Science Foundation in that region. So we see these tools, these robots, as really enabling science that you couldn't, for example, do with a snowmobile because a snowmobile emits its own pollutants. Yeti originally was developed to pull this ground-penetrating radar in support of more logistics. So we have the South Pole Traverse, which takes supplies from McMurdo Station to the South Pole Station in an effort to reduce cost of transporting supplies. And as part of that traverse, the route has to be surveyed as they climb off of the McMurdo Ice Shelf onto the Ross Ice Shelf. And that is a very dangerous and expensive endeavor. They have to man a large tractor-like vehicle to survey the ice for crevasses. So a robot, you can send out and do such surveys, and it can bring back the data so that you can look at it in the safety of your camp.
Isn't it dangerous? Any close calls with Yeti or the cool robot?
No. So the crevasses are bridged by snow. So what happens generally is a crevasse will open up, and then as snow accumulates, it'll be covered over. And while they're unsafe for a large, heavy vehicle, they're quite safe for a 150-pound rover. So we've never had a close call, so to speak. And any that aren't bridged can be discovered by aerial survey in advance of a manned survey with a ground-penetrating radar.
Yeti and Cool Robot are on summer break now, I'm told. Where are they off to next?
Well, actually, they are right now en route to New Zealand, from where they'll be shipped to McMurdo Station in Antarctica for a deployment in the fall. So our plan on this particular field trip is to survey 2 5-kilometer by 5-kilometer regions to both sides of the traverse route in an effort to understand the dynamics of the McMurdo ice shelf as it flows past the Ross Ice Shelf in Antarctica.
Laura Ray, professor of engineering at Dartmouth College and project leader for Yeti and Cool Robot. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Now you'll find a link to read Yeti's blog, find pictures of him and the Cool Robot at wordofmouthradio.org.